You can go ahead and grab your message notes that are inside your worship guide, if you would. And I'm really excited about this series because of, I just am expecting, man, God just to use this to touch our lives and our hearts. And I do believe that this is one of the most hopeful times of the year. And I think that we need to always remember why we celebrate Christmas, and that's the birth of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Can you say a good amen today, everybody? And so just in the midst of all the hustle and bustle and all the shopping, everything that you're doing, remember why we celebrate this season. I just encourage your parents, remember during the actual Christmas day that you take some time out and thank God for sending the greatest gift he could to humanity, and that's Jesus. Amen? And so we're so thankful for that. But I also do realize that this is also one of the most hopeful, but also one of the most hopeless times of the year. You know, statistics tell us that the month of December is statistically the most depressing month of the year for Americans. And it's also the highest month of suicide for people. And I don't know about you, but man, that just does something to my heart, and it compels me. And I really believe that's why us, the local church, that we must respond with hope. Amen, everybody? And so that's what this series is going to be all about, because I don't know if y'all have ever had any drama or issues in your family before. Maybe I'm the only one in the house that have ever experienced that. But it's amazing through that and just even relationships and friendships that a lot of times pain just sometimes seems to be even more exposed during the holiday season. And so this series is all about hope, and it's all about forgiveness, because in the midst of working those things out with our family, we need to release forgiveness, and we need to know how to move on from offenses and allow God to help us within those areas of our life. Amen? And so that's what this series is going to be all about. But this message today, I'm just telling you, in first service, man, God did some things. And I'm a little emotional today. I'm not quite sure why, but I just know that God is just doing some things in people. And I really believe that God has got a plan for you this morning, and that none of you are here by accident, but God had you here specifically on purpose today. Amen? And so one of my favorite Christmas classic movies, and it actually played for the first time last night. So in the midst of watching, flipping back and forth between the Big Ten Championship and, I think it was the ACC Championship, I saw the movie was on It's a Wonderful Life. Come on, how many like that movie? How many enjoy that? Yeah, the Christmas classic, even getting some hands in here today, all right? It's awesome. And I think one of my favorite moments of that movie, and my favorite lines of that movie, actually comes at the beginning. There's Clarence, who is the second class angel, is getting ready to get his assignment by his superior. And he goes to his superior, and this superior tells him, he says, "Hey, Clarence, you've got to go help out this guy, George Bailey. He needs some help." And so Clarence responds. He said, "Well, what's wrong with him? Is he sick? What's happening?" And the superior says, "No, it's actually much worse than that. He's discouraged, and he's about to throw away his life." And I think that a lot of times discouragement can even be worse sometimes than physical sickness, because I think sometimes even in the physical things, there's some things that we can do to try to get better. And Scripture talks about this in Proverbs 13:12, and it says this: "Hope deferred makes the heart sick." Hope deferred is when your hope or your expectations of something really doesn't happen. Whether it may be your expectations and hope of in regards to your job or your finances or your family or just even life itself. How many of you have ever just honestly said, "Man, I've experienced hope deferred in my life"? Yeah, I think we all have. I think we've all been through that kind of experience. And I think there'll still be moments that we have those kind of times in the journey. But I know this, that without hope, our hearts grow sick. And so I want us to look at, for the next few minutes, just some of the symptoms of hopelessness. And my prayer is this morning, as we are just kind of working through this message, maybe you begin to identify some things within your own life and you're seeing some of this happening in you. I'm just believing by the grace of God that God is just going to touch your heart this morning, and that instead of just getting through the month of December, that you will enjoy this month again in Jesus' name. Amen. And I think that's where a lot of our culture is at. It's just sometimes we get so busy, and if we got so much going on, I just get through it. But God just doesn't want you to survive. He wants you to thrive. And so that's my prayer, is that we enjoy and we thrive through this season. So I think hopelessness produces three things. Jot this first one down. I think the first thing it does is you become disoriented. You come to a place that you are disoriented. You lose sight of where you're at. You lose sight of direction and don't know where you're at or where you are going. And there's someone in Scripture that really identifies with that so very much and really understands that probably better than any of us would, because my prayer is none of us would ever experience what Job did. And if you ever have time, read the life of Job, because here's a man that really had it all together, had everything that he needed, but came to a place where suddenly everything was essentially stripped from his life, that he lost his family. He lost his possessions and his health went into decline. And he said this in Job 17. He asked this question. He said, hey, where is my hope then? Can anybody see hope for me? He was in a place that when you read in Scriptures, it's really kind of interesting, because he had people that was in his life that thought they knew better than Job did. Have you ever had those people in your life that think they know your business better than you do? Oh, Lord Jesus. I probably don't raise our hands too high on that, all right? But you just want to kind of, you know, lay hands on them in Jesus' name. You know what I'm talking about? Like, you just want to be a blessing. But nonetheless, he had those kind of people and trying to tell him, well, this is happening, and this is why. But at the root of it all, he was in a place wondering, do I have hope? I want to know that I have hope. I remember some years ago, I was out in Florida, and I remember we were out doing some deep sea fishing in a boat, and we planned that all day that we were going to be out there. And so I remember that you could see land, you know, when we started out. But because we had drifted so far and because we were out there so many hours, all of a sudden, I lost a sense of direction. Like, I didn't know where land was. So, like, if Jaws was going to come and capsize the boat, like, I had no idea where I was swimming. You know what I'm saying? Like, I am Shark's Bay. It's over. It's done, you know, because I didn't know where I was headed to. And so it was because of a place that hopelessness can do the same thing, and that you lose your sense of direction. And it brings you to a place that you begin to drift and you begin to move into a direction. And I think one of the most awful, terrible feelings is not knowing what to do or where to go. I think it's a tough feeling to deal with that, which brings me to the second symptom, which is you begin to drift. When you're hopeless, you come into a place that you find yourself away from home base. Like when I was a kid, and I don't know what the kids, some of them do today, because we just got so much technology. But when I was a kid, when I played tag, we had what was called home base. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. All right, good. I have some in here that know what I'm talking about. And like, this was home base. Like, if I'm at home base, you can't touch this. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can't, I'm not it, you know? And so, but what it does and what hopelessness does is it shifts you away or drifts you away from safety. And it begins to send you into a direction that is hopeless, because a lot of times when you're in that place, you begin to discover things that you're doing or trying to do that, man, God's just not in, because it's you and I doing this, and it's what we begin to drift, and we start trying other things and start going our own way. And some of us, even here today, it's like we're physically here, but we're not here. And we're kind of like Isaiah 53 talks about in verse 6, that we all like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. Speaking of the beaches, all right? It's nice to think about the beach in December, by the way, right? And so when I was a boy, I was about 12 or 13 years of age, and we had a family that lived in the Carolinas, and so we'd go and visit them and do the beach. And so one day we were headed to the beach, and we had my friend's mom was with us, and she was taking us, and we're on the way to the beach when, man, the beach from their house was like an hour away, and man, just this huge storm just comes through, and of course, we're not worried. We're excited because we know it's going to stir up the waves, and we're excited about that, you know. And so we get there, and the storm had passed, but the waves are just crazy. And I'm an Indiana boy, all right? I don't claim to surf. I don't claim to do anything, but I try to do my boogie board thing, you know what I mean? And so I got my boogie board out, and, you know, my friend's mom just kind of gave us the direction a little bit, just be careful, the riptide and all that. But honestly, we shouldn't have been out there anyways. The red flags were up, all right? How many know red flags are red flags? Caution, don't go down that road, don't do that. So we went. You know, and so we got in the ocean, and we started swimming and doing our thing, and old Kyle's got to take it the step further. And I thought, man, I got real bold. I thought, man, I'm going to catch me a wave. And so I went out a little bit farther and farther than my friends did. And I thought, I'm gonna catch me a wave. And finally, man, I sure did. Caught that wave, and it sent my face plowing into the seafloor of the sand. There I was in my own riptide. Glory to God. And so I get up out of the water. It was like waking up. And I'm looking, and I see my friends are all on the shore, like waving me down, like jumping, like freaking out. And I realized, oh, this ain't good. You know, I have went further out from where I need to be, and I am in some deep trouble here. And so I'm a good swimmer, by no means a great swimmer. I was realizing my feet was no longer touching the sea floor. I was a bit nervous. I thought, this could be it. Am I really going to go down like this, you know? And so I remembered. I was saying, okay, what do I do? And I remember, swim diagonally. Don't swim against it. And so finally, I just remembered that. And glory to God, I got back to the beach safely. Amen. All right? But the moral of the story and what I'm trying to say is simply this: hopelessness does that. It pulls you away from where you should be, and it takes you farther than you want to go. And that's a lot of times what hopelessness does, and even sin can get in our life and even produce even greater things that can hurt us and damage us. When I was praying this week, I was actually specifically last night, just I really felt like the Lord just wouldn't let me go to sleep last night. And there's a couple scriptures that was on my heart that's not in your notes. And as I was working on this message here today, and I really believe this, and I told First Service this today too, and it may just been for somebody in First Service, but it also may be somebody for here in this service too, that you are in a place that you feel like you're dealing, and you feel like those symptoms are becoming you into a place and bringing you to a place of hopelessness. And Proverbs 18:1 says this: a man who isolates himself seeks his own desire, and he rages against all wise judgment. Some of us have had a tough time. Some of us are in a very difficult season in our life right now, and we are going through it. Some of us feel like we are literally going through hell right now. And I just, when that scripture came to my heart last night, I know it was the Lord that reminded me of that verse, that some of us are finding ourselves isolating ourselves from other people. Can I tell you, it's one of the greatest traps that the enemy wants to set for people, is to get you into a place of isolation, to get you into a place where you think you know it better, and then you don't also receive wise counsel that needs to be brought into your life. And the Bible says you rage against it. You don't want to hear it. And I'm telling you today, I feel like God is just wanting to sound the alarm in the hearts of some people today to say, you need to watch out and you need to heed what God is saying, to not go down that your path that you think that you know better, but to receive God's help and to receive the help of people. Because guess what? None of us are meant to do life alone. None of us. God didn't create you and I to do life by ourselves. God created us to do life with people and life with each other. And that's why the Bible says in Proverbs 16:25, another verse that's not in your notes, but there is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end, its way is death. And sometimes we got to realize we're not as smart as we think we are. I'm telling you, some of the greatest leaders, even some of the greatest men and women that you read in Scripture, had the ability to heed wise counsel, to not do life alone, but to do life together. And I'm telling you, I wouldn't be here today if I hadn't made the decision to do life together with people. I can remember times on the phone that people in my life, when I was going through some of my most difficult seasons, depression and things that just ravaged and hit me, thanks be to God for relationships. Thanks be to God for pastors and counselors in my life that said, man, that hugged me and just told me they loved me and they believed in me. And you know, you need people in your life that love you and tell you they believe in you. You need people that are going to have hope with you, that are going to encourage faith with you. You need that kind of faith and hope moving in your life. And the last place that that symptom of hopelessness brings you to is you live then in a place of despair, which is really the ultimate hopelessness, because you quit and you give up and you throw in the towel. 2 Corinthians says it this way: we were under great pressure. And some of you today have been feeling this. And you think, well, the more, you know, if I just get through next week. But all of a sudden, you're finding yourself saying the same thing, living the same way. And things are piling up. And it's almost like you can't breathe. This is what I feel for somebody here today. And that you feel this scripture far beyond your ability to endure, so that we despaired even life. You've been thinking about quitting. Been thinking about throwing in the towel. But I want you to know, because of Jesus, we have hope. We can not only make it through, but we can overcome in Jesus' name. There's a great story that I came across, and I think it just fits perfect for this message here today. It comes from Major Harold Kushner. He was a prisoner of war in Vietnam. And he talks about in this article the devastating effects of hopelessness. And here he is. I want to read this to you. He describes one 24-year-old American Marine POW in Vietnam. And he said that he had decided, this 24-year-old American Marine decided to cooperate with the Viet Cong, who had captured him. And he said to the Viet Cong, "If you promise to let me go, I'll do whatever I can to cooperate with you." So he did everything he could to cooperate with them, and he actually became a model prisoner. But after a while, it became clear to him that they were lying to him, and they weren't going to let him go. And listen to this. When that realization took place in his life, this is how Major Kushner described what happened to him next. He said he became a zombie. He refused to do any work, and he rejected all offers of food and encouragement, and he simply lay in his cot, sucking his thumb. In a matter of weeks, he was dead. And I would guess, if there were a one-word cause of death, it would have been hopelessness. You know, it's amazing, even doctors talk about the need for humans to have the ability to want to cling on to something, to hope and to survive. One expert said this. He said, "Since my early years as a physician, I learned that taking away hope is for most people like pronouncing a death sentence. Their already hard-pressed will to live can become paralyzed, and they may even give up and die." And our hope right here at Elevate City is that we would help to lead a church so full of God that we would give the light and the life of God to people. Because we realize people, whether they're saying it or not, everybody, are dying inside. That's why we exist as a church. That's why we are here in Fort Wayne, not to just have a Sunday morning church, but to reach people beyond our walls that don't know him, to experience this kind of life-giving hope that can change their lives. Can you say a good amen? And so I believe that we must respond to the hopelessness that is in our generation. You know, over the last few weeks, as we did a short series just on generosity, one of the things I just challenged you guys with is at the Hub to grab random acts of kindness cards. And by the way, they're always available. They're always going to be available. And to just show the love of God to people. And by the way, I just want you to know, many of you guys on social media this week, it was awesome, just saw stories from many of you guys, just how God used you to go be generous. And some of you did coffee. I just saw different ideas, and I was like, oh, this is so awesome. And what you don't realize is that ray of hope that you gave people literally could have helped to save somebody's life. A few weeks ago, I shared with you a story about someone that paid for a lunch at a drive-thru. And little did they know that they were saving the life of the person behind them because they were on their way home that day to commit suicide after they ate lunch. But because of a little card and a lunch that was bought one day that said, "Another way to show you that God loves you," that person, instead of committing suicide, gave her heart to Jesus and saved her life. Amen, everybody? That's the kind of hope that we can give. And so what is hope? I want to really just kind of help define it, but I want to first define what it's not, because I think sometimes our just the world around us gets this wrong. So let's first of all help define what it's not. First of all, it's not wishful thinking. Hope is not wishful thinking. Hope is not even when we try to hope things in or out of existence. Hope is not wishing the Indianapolis Colts would win the Super Bowl this year. I know it. I'm a Colts fan. It's not even wishing that Indiana University had a new basketball coach, all right? I mean, it's just not hope. I know. Pray for Pastor. That's my issue, all right? I'm working that out right here, all right? Hope is also not blind optimism, although it's good to be optimistic, all right? And I'm not just telling everyone just to go live your life and try to be happy and trying to act like something is not there. That's not hope. It's kind of like the woman who had a lost dog. She felt hopeful. Her dog was lost, and she went into the neighborhoods of everywhere she was, posting all these posters all around. And man, on the poster, you saw the face of her dog. And on it, it said, "Lost dog, please return if found." And so she had a description, gave her address, but the description was interesting because as she described her dog, she said, "He has been castrated. He is blind. He only has 3 legs, and he answers to the name of Lucky." All right, it worked a little better in second service. All right, we'll keep moving. Keep moving. Hope is also not just ambitious dreams. Please don't email me with your emails on that one. All right, good to have goals. It's good to have goals, all right? But it's not just ambitious dreams. I love dogs. I just don't like cats, all right? The world has it wrong. All right, I'd need to keep moving. All right, the world has this ideology that they just think hope is just, it's just being positive or positive vibes. I really don't even know what that means. But hope is this. It's a confident expectation based on something solid. That means this. While everything else is happening, everything else may be going crazy, hope is an immovable force based on something solid. That's why I kind of cringe when I hear this, because I love Jesus so much. And when I hear this said, well, faith is just blind. No, it's not. It's not blind faith, because our faith is not based on a myth, but on something that is solid. Let me tell you this. The Bible is the truth. It is infallible. It is incorruptible. I said it once, I'll say it again. It's why the Bible is still the best seller in the world, everybody. Because there's hope throughout the book. The greatest love story that could ever be written for all of mankind was in that book, and it's still alive. It's still living. It's still producing strength, life, and healing, and hope, and salvation in the lives of people. Can you say amen? Amen. It's the truth. Everybody say it's the truth. It's the truth. Hebrews 11:1 says, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. So for most people, hope is something they do. But biblical hope is something we have. In one place in Scripture, I love this so much, because the Bible actually calls it the living hope. You know what that communicates? It's alive. It's moving. It's full of life. Full of expectancy. Tap in to hope, and let's live with hope. You can possess it. You can own it. You can grab onto it today. Psalm chapter 71, verse 14. You guys go ahead and put that up there. And I want you guys to help participate and read this verse with me here this morning, if you would. Here we go. But as for me, I will always have hope. I will praise you more and more. I will always have hope. No matter what's going on, I'm going to choose this next part as I kind of wrap up this message, the anchor that is in Jesus, our hope. So when you find yourself disoriented, when you find yourself maybe drifting, or the storms of despair maybe ravaging and hitting your life, you can remember the hope that is in Jesus has overcome the world. And you don't have to fear when Jesus is a part of your life. But you need something to hold you together, something solid. That's why the Bible calls hope the anchor. Everybody shout the anchor. The anchor of the soul, Hebrews 6:19. This is out of the Amplified, and it says, this hope, this confident assurance. I love the way this reads it. we have as an anchor of the soul. Look at this. It cannot slip. And for some of you that have been feeling the pressure, wondering how you're going to make it, how you're going to get out of it, you need, this is a word for you today. That it cannot break down under whatever pressure bears upon it. A safe and steadfast hope. Whatever is taking you from home and what's safe, home base, it's time to come back to your Father today. It's time to come back to the one who paid it all, who loves you so much, that gave his life for you. So what do I have to do, Kyle? What do I need to do to get this hope? How? Tell me. You don't have to do anything. Just receive it. Trust in his word, that his word and who he says he is who he is. So hope requires, number one, trust. It's going to require you to trust God. It's going to require you to say, God's got this. For some, you say, man, I feel like I'm in a hopeless situation. And you know what? God loves to take people that are broken, who are in a place that they feel hopeless, and he loves to love on them only like he can, and embrace them only like he can, and to show them that there is a way only like he can. Abraham was in that place. The Bible says in Romans 4:18 that against all hope, though, Abraham in hope believed. Abraham seemed to be in what was a very hopeless situation. Abe was 100 years old, still believing for his promise, his child. And the Lord had told him that they were going to have a child. And in the background, Sarah, his wife, is listening because she's 90 and heard that that's what the Lord said. And she started laughing. I mean, girlfriend was 90, y'all. Like, there's some things at 90 and 100, things just don't work like they used to. You know what I'm talking about? And so that's kind of what they're thinking. Like, I don't know how this is going to happen. So she laughed. But you know what? But God brought forth a miracle. And they conceived. And I think this is the problem that the world has with hope and why it's viewed different. Because they think that when you're hopeful, that you're not being real. Or that you're not being pragmatic. Or you're in denial and you're just not being honest with it. But it's like the anchor. It may not look like it'll work in the natural, an anchor on this huge ship, but it does. A little anchor holding a huge boat doesn't look like it would work, but it does. You know, I was doing a little study on anchors this week, and I just thought it was interesting because of what some experts are saying about it. There's some boats and some cruise lines that's trying to go away from anchors and trying to do it all kind of mechanically with technology. But they say a lot of the majority of larger ships today are still using anchors. One expert said this, two anchors are better than one. I thought, man, that's a preacher's line right there. You know what I'm saying? Like, I could preach that, you know. And it's true. Because think about it. The anchor that we have and the anchor of the hope that we have is in Christ alone. And then bringing a second anchor to your life is a friend. That's what the Holy Spirit showed me when I read that. I thought, man, you're a good preacher, Holy Spirit. Just good job today. You know, it's just amazing because none of us, like I said, are meant to do life alone. We need friends. We need relationships. It's why we have small groups. We're on a break during the holidays, but it'll kick back in. It's why we have small groups because we know that we need people. We need friends, and we cannot do this alone. Because 7 years ago, if I tried to do what I was going to do by myself, and Beth and I wouldn't be here. Because 7 years ago, I laid on my deathbed wondering if I would ever see the next day. And for weeks, doctors could not, and they never could diagnose what was going on in me. And there's a sense in my family that they had a decision to make. Bethany is at that time 8 months pregnant with Ashton, who's right here with us this morning, my beautiful baby girl. Pregnant with her. And for weeks there, I was in this coma, and I, I, I was on my birthday in a coma. I mean, how horrible is that? So I think I'm a year younger, I told the Lord, because of that, all right? December 22nd. I said, Lord, I need an extra year because of that. And just having a little fun. And I remember being in that moment, and Bethany got, my family was getting the worst news possible. Their doctor said that he is just not responding. And they're preparing Bethany and my family for my death. But my wife and my family made a decision that they were going to hang on to the anchor of hope that is in Jesus. Instead, we hear what's being said to us. We're thankful that they're doing their jobs. But there's sometimes, even in the midst of that, they people may not understand it, but when you have the anchor of the hope, you're going to stand and believe God for a miracle. And I'm so thankful that even when I wasn't fighting for me, God was, and so was my family and my church family. Because at that point, we were still living in Columbus, Ohio. And I was in and out of this coma, and I had a moment with God. And I'll never forget it. And it's my story. If you don't believe me, that's your problem, all right? It's my story. And this is what happened. And I there was a moment I had, and I just told the Lord, I said, God, you know I love you. And if you're ready to take me home, I'm okay with that. I'm all right with that because I love you. I don't fear death. And I didn't. That's not me being brave. That's just being confident in the hope that I have in Jesus. But I said, but I have two problems before if you make that decision. And you got to understand, like, I talk to God just like he talks to me. So this is the way I talk to him. And so I don't know how he talks to you, but this is just how we talk. And I said two things. I said, first of all, of course, we're still living in Columbus, Ohio. And I said, you've placed a call in my life to one day go plant a church in Fort Wayne, Indiana. You told me that when I was 9. And I'm not even begun it yet. So that's my first problem, because at least let me go start it. Like, let me do something with it. You know what I'm saying? Like, you called me. Second of all, my wife is pregnant with my baby girl. And I'd like to be there. I'd like to be there. But Lord, whatever you want is what I want. And man, I just laid that. I'll never forget tears streaming down my eyes. And this month is different for me for the rest of my life, because I know I'm here because God spared me. And he healed my body. And it was Christmas morning, you guys, that I woke up out of the coma on my own, was breathing. I was on life support, breathing on my own, and woke up never to have that life support put back on me again. And wouldn't you know, 5 days later, I was released out of the hospital because of God's healing power in my life. He is still a healer. We didn't get caught up in what everybody else was saying and doctors was saying, and I appreciate them. Don't hear what I'm not saying. But there's moments when you get reports like that that you need to have friends. You need. That's why people don't need to be in the hospitals by themselves or at funerals by themselves. You need friends. You need people who are going to believe in you and encourage you and love you enough to stand with you and know how to fight and believe God with you. Because there really is a real enemy who wants to take you out. It's not fictitious. He's real. But that's why God has raised us up as people that know Jesus and know how to war, know how to stand and believe for a miracle. So I'm going to tell you this. Your natural man at times will war with you. Your mind will tell you why you need to not think that way. And your emotions will try to get you to question and say and tell you why things won't work out. There are just sometimes you've just got to take authority and tell your flesh, that natural part of you, to shut up. And the enemy to shut up and believe God and claim his word of healing, that by his stripes we are healed. And he's the healer. And I'm telling you, no matter where you're at in your mind, in your body, whatever's going on in your family, that you can claim and ask God for his healing power to work and to move in your life. He's a healer. He's still healing everybody. And I'm thankful that he is my healer. He's my healer. Psalm 42:11 says, so why are you downcast, O my soul, and why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. In order for it to work, You've got to throw it. You don't have to try. You don't have to understand it all. Just trust him and believe. Throw out the anchor. It's your move. Put your hope in God. Take that first step. Number two, hope is anchored to something unseen. You're going to have to embrace the unseen. You know, it's an interesting thing about anchors. They go into the water, but you never see it once it goes into the water. It attaches itself to something unseen. Hope is found in the unseen world. That's why I believe that a lot of people don't have hope because their faith doesn't make room for them to have something that is unseen. A lot of people who are even Christians like a Christianity that they can control in their own natural world. So they'll say things like, well, don't bring that healing supernatural kind of talk to me. That's spooky. No, you're spooky. God ain't spooky. People are weird, not God. Let's make sure we understand that. Because some of us are in a place that we never get to the great things that God has for us because God does, his world is not a natural world. His world is an unseen world. Are you guys getting this today? Man, I hope you are. And so until you get comfortable with the unseen, you can't anchor your soul. And so if you're going to make it, you have to understand, I've got to embrace the unseen in my life. Scripture says in 2 Corinthians, for our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes, not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen, it's temporary. The word temporary means subject to change. But what is unseen is eternal. And one of those unseen things is heaven. Our hope in Jesus and our hope in eternity is heaven. It's the blessed hope, Titus says in 2:13. While we wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great and Savior, Jesus Christ. You've got to embrace the unseen. And ultimately, hope is found, number three, in a relationship with God. Guess what? Your hope is only as good as what it's attached to or what it's anchored to. Hope in and of itself has no power. The only way, listen to me, everybody, listen. The only way that hope has any real power is to be connected to the source that has the power, and that's in God. It's giving your life to him. Saying, God, I give you everything. You know, we sang that song this morning, a Christmas song that's been sung for years. Oh, Holy Night. Beautiful job, by the way, guys. It was awesome. But there's a part of that song that I love more than anything else. I love the story of it. It's powerful. But one of the lines in that song of Oh, Holy Night is what you'll experience with Jesus. And that is this, is that he is the thrill of hope. When we were singing that today, and I was thinking about that, I thought, Lord, for every single person in this room today, may we experience the thrill of hope that is Jesus. That no matter where we are at, no matter what we're going through, I'm telling you, one of the greatest things you can do is make a decision for Jesus and experience the thrill of hope that is in him. Romans 15 says this, verse 13, may God, the source of hope, fill you with joy and peace through your faith in him, and then you'll overflow with hope. Say, man, Kyle, how do I know if I have hope? How do I know? Here's how you know. That when the world is going crazy, you have rest. That when the world is losing their minds, and craziness and chaos is going around, you have peace. And you're confident because you're anchored. Come on, everybody shout, I'm anchored. Psalm 62, 5 says, find rest, O my soul, in God alone. My hope comes from him. It's your step. You got to take the step. I can't force you to do it. You've got to do that. And I close with this verse, Isaiah 40, 31, powerful verse. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. And they will walk and not be faint. Would you bow your heads where you're at this morning? Heavenly Father, I thank you so much. for this message here today. And what I'm asking you, as every head is bowed, and I ask you guys just to close your eyes just for this moment. And in this moment, the Lord, that you minister and do what you've already been doing, I know, in this service and touching the hearts of people. Christmas is all about hope. Over 2,000 years ago, God sent his son into what seemed like a hopeless situation to hopeless people to spread love. And we have the gift of Jesus. That is our hope. And knowing God, eternity is for real, y'all. Heaven and hell are realities. I want you to know how much God loves you, how much he wants to be in a relationship with you. And in just a moment, I'm going to give you an opportunity. But if you don't know Jesus, and you say, you know what, Kyle, that's me. Because all of us together as a church, we're going to pray. I'm not going to ask you to stand up. I'm not going to ask you to come down to the front. We're not going to embarrass anybody. But if you say, man, Kyle, that's me, I'm going to ask you in just a moment to put your hand up. And that's not me singling you out, just saying, Kyle, I want to join with you in that prayer. I want to give my life to God. For some of us, this is going to be a different Christmas season for you, because you're making some decisions right here. I'm telling you, by God's grace and God's anointing, he's here in this place. Come on, with every head bowed on the count of three, I believe there's people that need to respond for the very first time. There's some that have drifted from God like we've talked about, and it's time to come back home today. On the count of three, 1, 2, 3. Come on, no hesitation. Lift it up real high. Thank you so much. Awesome. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, bud. Thank you, sir. Proud of you guys. Awesome. Come on, anybody else says that? Man, that's me. I want to give my life to God. Hands all over. Awesome. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, we're going to pray a prayer. Now, here's what I want you to do. Is just mean it in your heart. Pray this prayer after me. Jesus, I give you my life. Come on, Elevate. We're praying with people for the very first time. Jesus, I give you my life. Forgive me of my sins. Cleanse me of my past. My life belongs to Jesus. You are my anchor. You are my strength. You are my healer. You are my hope. I love you, Jesus. Thank you for loving me. And God, I pray, I seal this time up right now. Move, God, only like you can, and minister to hearts and lives. And we thank you for decisions of people that are going after Jesus. In your name we pray, amen. Come on, let's give Jesus a great big hand today. Come on, a lot of new people for the first time. We bless you, God.